My name is Bill Ludwig. I get to be the pastor here at Five Stones Community Church. And as Spencer already has said, this is not a normal Sunday. I do not normally preach in swimming trunks. But while I'm here, check these things out right here, right? Anyway, that was maybe a little over the top. I appreciate that. One of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture is in the Old Testament. In what we call the book of Zephaniah, and there's a description of God the Father rejoicing over his people. And in that description, it says that he rejoices over us with dancing, and the word that we translate as dancing literally has the connotation of whirling and twirling around in joy, like we just witnessed here in front of us. And as I was watching them, I just kept seeing this impression of God our Father dancing over us like that. And I liken that to a father, you know, doing the airplane move, you know, the spin, right? And just eyes locked, everybody giggling and laughing. And it's just such a profound image, I think, for me anyway. And I'm glad and grateful that we got to share something of that with you today. We do have an exciting day. We are at the end of what I think is a pretty important conversation that we've been having here at Five Stones, a conversation about what it means to live life in the kingdom of heaven. We believe that the kingdom of heaven is here and now. It's not something that we need to wait for or make sure that we check off all the boxes so that we can sneak in at the last second, but that it's right here, right now, and that kingdom has a king, and that kingdom has a culture, and it has values, and it has a way of being that we can participate in right now that not only gives us some confidence in where we are in our relationship with God, but it actually makes a huge difference in all of the other relationships around us. Our relationship with ourselves, with our family, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with creation. And so this idea of walking through this conversation, it's not the end of it because we're going to keep talking about it forever, but today we're putting the exclamation point on this series that we call Welcome Home. So over this series, we've been talking about what it means to live life in the kingdom, specifically what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you, when you came in today, you may have received this little blue card. If you've got it, can you just pick it up and let me see it? I want to make sure that people receive those. If you didn't receive one of these and you want one, there are more available on the welcome table, I think, as you go out the door today. And this is meant to be something that you can slip in your Bible, you can slip in your mirror, you can slip in whatever it is, put it on your refrigerator, something that can remind you of what we call the lowest common denominator, the irreducible core of discipleship. And what we mean by that is we can do all kinds of other things in following Jesus and trying to live like him, but he gives some very specific commands to us that we think we can do all these other things, but if we aren't doing these things that he commanded us, well, then we're not quite following him. And so this card is to remind you of that. So if you have it, you can flip to the side that says the irreducible core of discipleship. That's technically the front, and it sort of describes what they are. So these commands to love God with everything that we've got, and then the next greatest commandment, Jesus says, is to love others, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So love God, love others, and then, of course, there's this great commission, right? And it's a commission. It's a co-mission because we are on mission with Jesus, our master rabbi, to be like him, to become like rabbis, and make more disciples of Jesus that follow him, like we follow him. So love God, love others, and make disciples. And then there are questions and maybe some practices that we can follow that might help us know God and love him more. That might help us love others and serve them more. That might help us teach and show the way of Jesus to other people. And so really both sides of this card, just something that's helpful. You don't have to do it like this, but if you're not used to a discipline or a routine of thinking like this, then we encourage you to use this, specifically these daily questions on the back at the bottom, a disciple's daily questions. In what ways did I love you today? Father, loving God, right? In what ways did I love others? Loving others as we love ourselves. Did I love others because of your love? Like you gave it to me and now I'm giving it away? Or did I try to love myself through loving others? Like there's an emptiness here that I'm trying to fill, trying to get something back from somebody. And that's why I interacted with them that way. That's a powerful question. And then finally, in what ways did I make disciples today? In what ways did I show someone else how to follow Jesus? So I want to point that to you. I promised you last week that we would have this for you, these questions in a take-home format. But really, like I said, we're kind of flowing to the punctuation point, the exclamation point of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And in that Great Commission that we've talked about over the last, several weeks, in that Great Commission, Jesus says that we are to make disciples of every kind of people there is and to baptize them. And to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna actually do that today for a couple of people in our community that are ready to make this step, make this proclamation. And here's what it means. And so I'd like to bring up that next slide. What is baptism all about? Well, we talked about baptism being kind of like a wedding ring, right? It's if I take my wedding band off, am I still married? Yeah, I'm still married, right? But this wedding ring is an outward symbol. It's something visible. It's a public proclamation that I have made a covenant to this relationship. And that's what baptism is. Lots of different faith families and different traditions look at baptism differently. We look at it as that. It's not something that is necessary for salvation. Like if you don't get baptized, you can't be saved and be with Jesus. That's not what we read in Scripture as our faith family and our tradition. The way we look at it is Jesus commanded it. It's something that we see in the history of his culture that he was speaking into as a public proclamation. This is what I want. And so we're going to recognize that today. It is a public proclamation that is both personal. This is what I'm proclaiming, and also really intensely communal. I'm proclaiming it in this community before you. You're the ones that are receiving my proclamation. So this next idea of baptism is about being chosen and choosing. We looked at a passage of scripture a couple of weeks ago that referred to baptism as a symbol of the new covenant. This word covenant's really important to us as followers of Jesus. It's more than a promise. It's not a contract. It's a pledging of our whole lives and everything we are to the terms of the relationship. And those terms, again, are loving God with everything we've got, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, and making disciples, showing other people how to do the same. Baptism is a symbol of the new covenant, and that's a good thing because if we remember, those of you who are Old Testament scholars, and I see there are a bunch of you here, the symbol of the Old Covenant is less palatable than getting dunked in water. Yes, somebody's laughing, right? The symbol of the Old Covenant was circumcision, which we're not going to get into the technical definition of that today, but it was a painful thing, right? It was a cutting away of something that actually, that's a really important piece of what it means to form a covenant. This root word of cutting away is found in the original language of the word covenant, but it has to do with this sacrifice, right? That seals the deal. It's this, I am choosing to be a part of this relationship. And it's also, God chose these symbols of his relationship with us. So he said to his people that he chose, do this. So it's both a choosing, I want to do this, I want to be a part of this relationship, and a being chosen, you are my people, do this as a symbol of the fact that I have chosen you, right? So this is what baptism is. Of course, a traditional sort of way of looking at it is a way of identifying with his death and resurrection, and accepting the work that he's done, right? So in this understanding, when the person being baptized, by the way, there's two people being baptized today, and the technical word for someone being baptized is baptizant. So there are two people that today we can call baptizants and feel really, really good about it, right? Baptizant. So when the baptizant goes under the water, it's like going down in death, going down into the grave like Jesus did, and then they rise up again like Jesus did. So it's an identification with his death and his resurrection, right? And so there's a new life. Scripture refers to it as the resurrection life that the baptizant now is proclaiming and symbolically stepping into. I desire to live in covenant with Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this resurrection life. And then finally, it's this idea of transferring citizenship from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of heaven. Our faith family is called the Brethren Church. And when we were formed and founded a little more than 300 years ago, our baptizing of people that were choosing to make this proclamation was actually against the law. Because in that time, in the culture where we were formed out of, the state church, it was very much a geopolitical kind of thing, baptized infants. When we said, no, we're going to choose to make this proclamation, so we're going to baptize either adults or people that are old enough to make this decision, we were actually violating the law, and in doing so, opened ourselves up to persecution, being put in prison, being actually put to death, having our houses burned down, and all these crazy things, right? So there's this idea that being baptized, choosing to make the proclamation of baptism, is actually like a subversive act. It's rebellious, right? So our baptizants today are participating in the rebellion. And we are asked as the congregation, as the people of God, whether we've been baptized ourselves yet or not, to participate in the rebellion with them today by saying, yes, we realize that we live in this world with all of the dynamics that are present and true of this age and this time in this world. But there's another reality, there's another kingdom, another set of values, another culture, another worldview that we can participate in, and that's what we're doing today. So baptism is all of those things. So here's the flow today. In a couple of minutes, I'm gonna ask our baptizants to come up here. They're gonna share a little bit about who they are, why they're choosing to make this proclamation today. Then I'm gonna ask them some very specific questions. And after I ask them those questions, I'm gonna ask you a question. And I'm gonna give you all a hint, both the baptizants and you here in the family of God. The answer to all of these things is yes, or yes, we will. Okay, so have that in mind. I gave you the answer to the test already. Then, after both of our baptizants, I love saying the word, you're gonna get tired of it. Both of the people being baptized, after they have answered those questions and you have answered your question, we're gonna proceed over here to the dunk tank. And in our tradition, we baptize, we go completely under the water, not once, not twice, but three times as a reflection of what we're asked to do, to baptize in the name of the one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God who is all three of these personalities, right? So that is our practice. When we get over there, there will be no microphones because electricity and water, not good. So if you want to hear what's going on, we encourage you to come forward. And if you're a family member or a close friend and you want to get up real close, just come on in here, stand up on here, gather around this space. You can put your hands out on them, whatever. We invite you to participate fully in the proclamation, okay? So those are the instructions. Then, after the dunking, we're going to proceed over here. Myself and the other two people that are soaking wet. And then we're gonna participate in something called a prayer of confirmation, which if you've been in other traditions, you've heard this word confirmation before. In our tradition, it is simply recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit in the people that just made the proclamation. It's affirming them and praying God's blessing over them. And so in the Five Stones way, we would ask anybody that feels comfortable to come on up to gather around them and lay hands on them. Somebody will kick off the prayer and somebody will close the prayer, and anyone that feels led to pray out loud can do so. Got it? This is what we're doing today. We're participating in the rebellion in a really cool way. So I would love it if the baptizants would come on up. So I want to introduce to you first my friend Chris Barr. Chris and I have known each other for a few years, but really it's over the last year or so that we've been getting closer. We've been hanging out a little bit more. You've been making fun of my golf game. Yes. Chris is an amazing child of God. When I hang out with him, when I look at him, whenever we're around each other, I can see so much of the nature of God in him. Chris is one of the most loyal people that I've ever met. When you become Chris's friend, you're his and he's yours. And this is one of the most powerful things I know about this man. Also, he doesn't like to show it because sometimes as men, we don't like to show these things, but he has a super tender heart of compassion for other people. And I have really enjoyed over the last several months seeing that part of the image of God emerging from you. Another part of Chris's life that he may not feel comfortable sharing, but I asked permission this morning to see if it was okay if I shared it. Chris also gets a little anxious around crowds of people, which is why you don't see Chris here every weekend, because sometimes it's hard for him, just like it's hard for some of you and others that you know in your friend circle and in your family. It's hard to be in a public group of people like this. So Chris, right now, you are not only rebelling against the other kingdom, you're rebelling against your own flesh right now. As you said, you had quite a bit of anxiety this morning. And so we just, right off the top, just want to affirm that and appreciate the fact that you're here standing in front of us making this proclamation now. And I've asked both of them to share a little bit about their story. Why now? Why here? I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hi, how are you doing? My name's Chris. I chose to be baptized today because I just wanted to choose a side. I feel like I was on the fence going back and forth. So I just wanted to make a commitment. So that's what I'm doing today.
Awesome. Yeah. The other baptizant this morning is my beautiful daughter, Emily. This is obviously a big day for her mother and I, and her grandparents are here, and her brother. There have been a couple of opportunities for her to make this proclamation in the past, but because it is something we believe, you've got to be sure you know what you're doing. You got to be sure you understand what it is you're proclaiming. We move towards this moment now. And so this is the opportunity that she's sure and she understands what's going on. But like Chris, when I look at her, I see this amazing child of God. Emily is one of the most kindest persons that I've ever known. And so the image of God that I see in her is this depth of kindness that, can I be honest, it's actually kind of supernatural, and it gets us in trouble sometimes because she has so much love for her friends and so much love for other people that oftentimes it can hurt. And so we see that in her and have to walk with her in that way, but it's such a beautiful, powerful part of who God is that we see in her. And of course, I also see in her this playful God. Right? This God that whirls and twirls and laughs and likes to play with his kids. I just want to affirm that in you and affirm this moment for you and give you an opportunity to share what's on your heart and why you're here today, why you've chosen this.
Well, as some of you may know, I also don't like crowds of people, so this is kind of nerve-wracking. But I have chosen today to be baptized because I've been... Throughout my childhood, I grew up in church, and I accepted Christ when I was very little, and I haven't really found, skipping around churches a lot with my dad preaching at different churches, I haven't found a real home and a real place, and I'm ready to call Five Stones my home and my place, so that's why I'm getting baptized here today.
Awesome. You ready, baptizants? All right, so here is the public proclamation piece as it continues to a little bit more formal questions, right? So I have at least four questions for you, and depending how you answer the first ones, you know, we might have some more. No. So the first question is this, for both of you, and you can answer, and you can answer along too as you affirm the commitment you made at your baptism. Do you believe that this world, everything about it, including yourself, is compromised by sin, broken, and there's no way that you or I can put things back together on our own? You believe that? Yes? Yes, we believe that? Yes. That is a proclamation right there. Do you believe that Jesus part of the Trinity, the Son of God, is the one who is, and the only one, that can put things back the way they're supposed to be. Do you believe that? And that he longs to put you back the way that you're supposed to be. Sometimes we call this your salvation. Do you believe Jesus is the only one that can provide you with this?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Do you believe that the Bible, its story, its principles, the way it weaves these threads of life themes through it, the entire of the scriptures, do you believe that that is not just God's story or not just the story of some other people, but your story and helpful for instruction, helpful for guidance, helpful for correction, etc.? Do you believe that that is true about the Bible, your relationship with it? Yes. The big question now, do you right now, in the name of Jesus, proclaim that you long to change citizenship, that you long to participate in the rebellion? Are you committing right now to love God with everything you've got, as much as you understand how, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, as much as you understand how, and to try to show other people along the way how to do the same? Do you commit to that now? Amen. Amen. Now, congregation, because this proclamation is both an intensely personal and an intensely communal moment, they have proclaimed this to you and you have proclaimed it back to them. But one more time, do you, Five Stones Community Church, do you commit now to walking with these two people in all of the ways that you can, in the ways that you are able to, in the ways that come naturally, and sometimes in the ways that are uncomfortable? Do you commit to these two, to walking with them, to help them fulfill the terms of the commitment that they've made to love God, to love others as they love themselves, and to make disciples? Do you commit now? Fantastic. Now it's official. Now, Baptizants, I'd like for you to come this way.